Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to Norris and Parker Sketch Therapy, episode 3.
The show where we bring you sketches, characters, songs, and a lot of oversharing, whether you want it or not. So this week we're talking about pets, and we also have a very special guest.
Oh, he's so special.
And so famous.
You guys are going to...
Yeah, this is insane.
It's big. Yeah. You just wait. Keep listening, because no one's going to be disappointed with our guest.
Yeah,
and... Of course he's famous.
Yeah, he is. He is actually.
He's been on Comedy Central.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's done more professional work than we have.
Oh, yeah. Far more.
And we're going to be chatting to him later.
How are you, Katie?
Well, you know how I am, Sinead, because we shared a bed.
We did all night.
We did share a bed. Lay awake till 4 a.m.
So did I.
I'm very tired this morning.
It was
horrible. It was a horrible sleep.
It was. Reminded me of my insomnia days when I used to live with you.
Those were fun days. We shared a bed and neither of us slept because I had anxiety wheeze. So that just means every 2 to 5 minutes I have to go for a piss.
And insane farts.
Yeah, I don't know what I ate.
The farts were really bad. Essential oils, like burning lavender, couldn't get rid of the smell of your farts.
I felt really sorry. I rarely feel sorry for you. And last night I did. I was doing toxic masculinity farts because I had sexism and kale and
Nando's
weights. I had mushroom bruschetta yesterday and a pizza and calamari, and I like the mushroom bruschetta so much that I had just a second one.
Wow.
And I think so.
My room is quite small. Like, I pay a lot for my room, and it's very small, and it's my sanctuary. And you entered my sanctuary. You farted and gassed me out of my own room.
I know.
You forced
me
to sleep near the wall, so my fingernails, I think, are still in the wall.
No, you have to sleep by the wall because I have to have the nearest exit to the toilet for my anxiety wheeze. But no, your room is a sanctuary. I've been thinking about this because every room I've ever lived in is a horrible, horrible mess. I move in, everything goes on the floor, and everything stays on the floor. Nothing
goes
on
my clothes.
Your clothes. And I get really jealous of your room and other people who have candles and essential oils and atmosphere or personal character in a room.
Yeah, I mean, yours has character. I mean, it has a lot of character. I mean, when I lived with you, we had a mouse infestation.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
That's been
and you were
times.
Like, and you were trying to find the mouse in the room, and then you were like, oh no, it's all right, it'll be fine. I can live with it.
To be fair though, you had an ant infestation.
I did have an ant infestation.
And have you had bed bugs? Because I, despite sometimes going for months and not cleaning my sheets, have never had bed bugs. It has been known. My dad gets really upset about that.
I think I'd quite like to be a bug living inside your dad's bed, just chilling out.
What?
Sorry, I just
stoned
out.
Well, he washes the sheets, I'd say, about 5 times a week, so you'd have no chance of surviving in there.
I wouldn't, would
he
I?
He gets up
die?
Really, really early. You'd get to spend no time with him.
He also plugs himself into the wall, doesn't he? I didn't think he slept in a bed. I thought he was like an Apple Mac.
Yeah.
He just charged himself up. Anyway, this week we're talking about pets.
Because to me, they're just a source of unconditional love that you can kind of, you force your affections on, and they kind of have to accept that.
And they fill a void.
Yeah. They do. A dark, empty, horrible void. In a time when you can't afford children because you live in London in a shared house and you're on minimum wage.
No. But there's lots of urban foxes.
Exactly. So have you, when you were growing up, were you a pet
person? God, I am a pet person. Well, obviously, I grew up on a farm, so we had lots of pets. We had cows and we had sheep and we had geese and chickens and obviously cats. Cats are a big thing.
Yeah. Mums love cats, don't they?
Yeah.
Cats are a mum thing.
Yeah, I mean, my mum is sort of, I don't know if they're in a relationship. She watches University Challenge with Thomas.
Yeah, you've got quite two sexy cats.
I do, they're very attractive cats.
You've got sexy Lola.
They're Aristocat You know, like in the film, that kind of energy.
Your cat Lola, to me, is like the Jessica Rabbit of cats. She's
the ingenue
really
of cats.
Slinky, yeah. And like sexy and big eyes. Yeah. And I've got like a weird crush on her.
And like you think she'd go, aww.
Yeah. My mum's got two cats who are like, it worries me. The cats have replaced me and my brother Daniel, and occasionally she loves them so much, and she talks to them in this really horrible high-pitched voice. And she's like, Paddy, Milo, boys, come in. And when I go and visit, even if it's midwinter and freezing cold, she'll have the door open just so they can come in and out as they please. And occasionally she sends me like reassuring texts going, just to let you know, I still love you and your brother more than the cats, because she loves them so much. I think she worries that it's obvious, and the house is like a cat hotel. She's just got cat play areas.
One time she was caught
waltzing with one of them alone.
I love your cats, actually.
They're very aloof and rude, apart from they're just obsessed with her.
Yeah.
One of them sleeps on her neck and in the morning will tap her to wake up.
Is that Paddy?
Yeah, and she like it has its own space in the bed, like a partner, like when my dad left.
Oh, a cat
the bed,
just moved in.
No one replaced.
Yeah, no. My mum's the same. It's all, it's too much. It's too dark. It's our future, mate.
So I don't want a cat because I can't bear it. But we had a dog, a divorced dog, when my mum and dad got divorced when I was 9. We got a dog in.
Is it Yin Yang?
Yin Yang.
Which
is the password to all my social media and edit and my Hotmail. Yin,
my bank
account. And she was great. She was an Alsatian Labrador and she absolutely stank. And it was really sad. We had her for like 15 years.
Were her farts as bad as yours were last night?
Equal. When people say that you start to look like your dog, the owners, I just smelled like my dog.
Yeah, you did. Wow. Yeah, well, we used to look after a dog on the farm called Bunty. I know. It's a red setter, which are now my favourite dogs. But yeah, Sinead laughs at this because I was in Bunty when I was 13. I had a feature in Bunty.
That's like, it's so horribly, horribly middle class that you were in Bunty. What were you doing in Bunty?
Just like, it was a picture of me with just like a fringe, which I have now. Just like, Katie from Somerset has turned 13. She likes horses and stuff. I know, I'm
were you
twat.
Unusually well developed? Was that in Bunty or did they bind you down?
Yeah, they were like, this 13-year-old girl with 34 B tits needs a job in a mill on a farm. She milks cows.
So it's come to our attention that people listening might not be a posh twat, and so they might not know what Bunty is. But Bunty was basically, it was like an annual for girls, a bit like the Beano, but for posh arseholes. And it mainly just consisted of stories and then also just like double spreads of little girls having birthday parties. And the fact that Katie was in that means that she's a knob.
Yeah, my dad milked the cow Bramble every morning, and then my mum would make clotted cream out of the milk, and we'd collect the eggs every morning. And then I got bored of doing all of that, and Dad was really sad because he was like, I'd grown up, and all I wanted to do was just like smoke and snog boys,
milk boys instead
of cows. Yeah,
it's a sad day.
It is a sad day.
Cows are replaced with men
with dick. but yeah, then we had loads of chickens. But Bramble would die every couple of years and then be replaced with a new Bramble.
That's wow.
And then we used to have pigs as well. And my dad, he is a vegetarian, but had no problems taking them to the slaughterhouse. They actually jumped out of the trailer on the dual carriageway. And my little brother, not my little brother, but he was little then, was like, Dad, the pigs have just escaped out of the trailer. And then Dad was in the papers. Farmer can't control his pigs.
The vegetarian.
Yeah, and then we used to just eat our own animals at Christmas.
Really? Did your dad kill them then?
No, my God, no. But he could have killed the geese because the geese would attack us, and Dad would put his hands around the geese neck and throttle it so that we could get to the car.
The geese.
Yes, because I'd be scared to go to the school bus, and so Dad would I'd cry, and the geese would be outside the front door going like that, and then Dad would come and they would like run from Dad, and he would grab them around the neck just to scare them. And geese are fierce, man. They're like,
what
seriously.
A vegetarian. What a good.
I know. The only reason my dad doesn't eat meat is because they used to force feed him at boarding school meat, and so he just doesn't like the taste
really?
Of it.
My grandparents used to force feed me vegetables when I was little, and now I've gag reflex for like broccoli and courgettes. I heave, and that's why I've never ate vegetables, and I'm going to die like quite soon of malnutrition.
You are so
and
anemic.
Alzheimer's.
It's not even funny.
It's awful.
But I've introduced you to avocado, mushrooms,
eggs,
all the
and tomatoes.
Yeah. You'd eat pet food.
I probably have.
Yeah.
Do you remember once, I just remembered when we lived together and you found me just in a corner drunk, feral, eating a saucepan of corn mince with Marmite in it?
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, what is it? What happened this morning when you stayed in my bed? You text me. She left me in bed. and you text me saying there's been an egg situation in the kitchen. And I went in and there was just like eggshells.
Because I had to leave really quickly, so I just had to really quickly just eat the inside of the egg and leave it for
you. It was like an urban fox had been in the kitchen, gone into the bins. And then you text me saying, I've taken your lilac jumpsuit. Sorry, love you.
And I do. And maybe it's time for a sketch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Our producer, Niall/Neil, loved this one. /terrified.
Disturbed.
Yeah. And Tom's drunk.
Yeah.
Our sound engineer. He's not really.
It's very professional.
Mancademy.
Lynn Parker is 41 and lives in Bessouse, rural France. 5 years ago, she moved to Bessouse to set up a clinic with a controversial aim.
This isn't the sort of place where you send your fat little daughter Brian if she can't stop stuffing her pig little face with cake. Or your mother Joan if she can't stuff a smack or the gin. Or your uncle Kevin if he can't stop finger-porking the Boy Scouts. No, this is a place where men come to become men. Because let's face it, what's a man if he's not a man? A woman, a flower pot man, a mangina! And let me get this straight. This isn't a man's sanctuary. This is a man-cademy. I'm going to whip those pussy boy virgins into man-sized bombs with massive balls. Yes, there'll be nipple suckle. And yes, there'll be bubbly baths. But there'll also be a hell of a lot of DIY and buggery!
Paul Callender is a 25-year-old virgin from Chipping Sodbury. He has come to Bessouse in search of his pride and his masculinity. As a child, he suffered from mild name-calling, which has left a negative impact on his life.
They used to call me silly. Silly sausage. Bit daft. Daft as a brush. Brushhead. Lame-o. The worst name was Pauline.
Pauline! Pauline!
I got so confused I came into school in one of my mother's frocks. Took me scrotum into me knickers. Since then, it's just stayed there. But that is why I am here in Bessouse, rural France. I am here to find out who I am. I am here to make me a man.
Paul has agreed to take a 3-week intensive programme at the Mancademy. Lynn likes to begin the course by breaking her patient down until he is a shell of his former pathetic self.
You're a small man, Paul, what are you?
I'm a small man, Lynn.
What are you, Paul Callender? A gay man's calendar?
No.
A Cliff Richard calendar?
No.
Think you're in the army, do you, Paul?
No, you gave me the jacket when I got here, Lynn.
You wouldn't last 5 minutes in the army, Paul. They'd dress you up as a showgirl, make you sing show tunes. Sing a bit of Les Mis for us, Paul.
I have a castle on a cloud. I look to go there when
I sleep. Come on, everybody,
sleep.
Let's all boo, Paul.
No.
Boo.
No. 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 Please, no. No. No.
In week 2, Paul is invited to share his most intimate desires with Lynn so she can analyse his psychosexual subconscious and his storytelling skills.
We're in a park. It's a warm day, sunny, clear, crisp, bright. I've popped a couple of Puritan, put on my sun hat and I'm good to go.
Who in the park with, Paul?
A lady.
Who's the lady, Paul?
Oh, one of my mother's friends, Bridget.
What's she like?
Oh, she's got lovely hands. Really slender fingers. She makes her own jam.
And what are you doing, Paul?
Oh, well, we've just shared a Scotch egg and now we're on the seesaw. Every time Bridget goes down, she makes a little noise.
What's the noise, Paul? Sounds like Bridget's aroused, Paul.
Is she?
Yes, her Laura Ashley tea dress is flapping up in the wind. She is dangerously close to revealing her apple crumble.
Oh, I love apple crumble. It's my favourite dessert.
The crumble is dry, Paul. What are you going to do?
Add cream?
Your cream.
My cream. I don't like cream.
These are just innuendos, Paul, you flaccid little cheese string.
Fine! I'll do her!
Thank you, Paul.
I'm so sorry, Bridget.
Paul has made great progress at the Mancademy, and now, in his third and final week, he will take his last step towards masculinity by making love to Lynn. Lynn is an experienced and gentle lover, having slept with over 850 men, not including her husband's.
Lynn, I just want to say thank you so much for making me feel so special.
Lie down, Paul.
Yes, Lynn.
I'm going to remove your trousers now, Paul.
What about my shoes and socks?
Leave them on.
Okay.
Look me in the eye, Paul.
I'd rather not, Lynn.
I'm going to mount the phallus now, Paul.
Bridget!
My name is Lynn. Thank you, Paul.
Paul will now take a shower and a short nap whilst Lynn calculates his results and makes her diagnosis.
So we've established that Paul has the sexual prowess of a neutered pig with slight learning difficulties. So what we're going to do is we're going to put Paul on a course. And on that course, there's going to be lawn mowing, wood chopping, beer guzzling, Viagra, Ross Kemp, and of course, a hell of a lot of DIY and buggery!
Since his time at the Mancademy, Paul has become the poster boy for toxic masculinity. He lives on a diet of protein shakes and kale, now works as a personal trainer, and rarely talks about his feelings.
Well, I guess the secret's out. I'm going into Love Island, and although I am happy with Bridget, there's nothing to say I couldn't be happier with a peng sort that turns my head in the villa.
Since this documentary aired, Lynn's practices were deemed too controversial, and the Mancademy has sadly closed its doors. Lynn has now retrained as a grief counsellor and says she's found her true calling.
I just miss him so much.
Stop your snivelling, you pathetic little worm. Everybody dies!
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So even though me and Sinead aren't a couple,
although we do sleep and bathe together.
Did actually own a pet together.
We did.
Which was a huge commitment and...
A huge mistake.
We used to live together in Manchester and we were walking to Tesco to buy salad and we walked past the pet shop and there was a little bunny rabbit in the window.
It was the most beautiful bunny I've ever seen. It was a sandy golden, gorgeous little bunny. Mm-hmm.
With beautiful big brown eyes. It looked like the rabbit from... Bambi? Anyway, so we walked in, and within 5 minutes, I'd spent I think about £150 on my credit card on a cage and a bunny.
And I think we thought that it was going to be like an endless source of love and affection. And then when we got it home, it just turned evil and just spent the next few months just shitting and biting,
chewed through all the wires, everything,
scratching,
the Wi-Fi,
no affection,
quite
angry,
pissed all over me.
Took hours to put back in the cage,
hours and hours.
Although one time we did leave a mask of David Cameron's face that we were using in a show, and Bunny shat all over that.
Yeah,
so that was the one good thing Bunny did.
Yeah, the one good thing. But why did we have a photo of David Cameron's face?
We did a really rubbish sketch with an A-level theatre piece with David Cameron's and Margaret Thatcher's faces on sticks.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm glad we have an excuse for that.
And you gave it away, didn't you?
I did. So we had to get rid of it in the end. So I put it on Pets for Homes, drove it to a woman who lived near Manchester Airport. And as I handed her over a bunny, she said, "Does it bite?" And I said, "No." And then I just drove away.
Yeah, liar. Please tell us if you've ever irresponsibly got yourself a pet.
Mm-hmm. Not been able
for
to look
Christmas
after it.
And not for life.
Just as impulsive as we are.
Mm-hmm.
And looking for love.
From any source.
Hello.
Hello.
So now for the best bit where we interview and talk to our beloved friend.
And son.
Huge Davies.
Welcome, Huge.
Hello. It's such a shame that I'm the special guest.
It's not.
It's such a shame. You should just say guest if you mean just guest.
But you're special.
You're very
so special
to us.
Okay. Well, that's
you're in our hearts.
That's
and
important
minds.
For a podcast for other people other than us three. Special to you.
No, but this was.
Oh, well, this is a good start. So Huge is our for those of you who are unaware. Huge is our pianist and composer in our new Edinburgh show, Burn the Witch. So we've got to know him quite intimately over the last few months.
I like the show though. It's good.
Thank you.
It's sort of like sort of mad sketches, and then it sort of cuts to bits where you're just like, oh, mums love cats, don't they? So it's quite odd.
well, you know.
I like it.
But are you enjoying working with us?
Yeah, you guys are really good to work with. You're the best. Yeah, you are the best.
Is that because we make you bacon and egg sandwiches every time you come round to our house?
Well, yeah, I don't. Yeah, well,
which you now expect.
Well, yeah, there's not. It's not as if
if you don't get fed, you're like annoyed, and now you're sucking on a lollipop right now.
Well, the lollipops are free. There's a whole tin of them.
Oh. But did you like that we were talking about pets in this episode? Because you've got a dog, haven't you?
I've got a dog. Yeah, I've got a dog.
Tell us about your dog.
His name is Percy. Oh. He's a spoilt dog, and he has no bottom jaw. It's not funny. I mean, serious operation.
You say it for a reaction.
Yeah.
You know what you're doing when you say your dog called Percy has no bottom jaw.
Yeah.
How? What? When? How do he lose his jaw, and how does he get by on a day-to-day basis with no jaw?
It just you just feed him things that you don't need a mouth for. So just it's a lot of slosh. That's it.
Slosh.
Just we feed him slosh. It's difficult to it takes ages is essentially what happens.
Aww.
You feed him just really small bits and he laps up like it, so it has to be sort of on a similar level of water like water, like a dog would lap up water. Aww. He laps up food.
And how old is Percy?
Percy's 10 years old.
Is he happy?
He's happier because he gets to walk less.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to do anything now because he's technically disabled. So he gets to just do nothing all day. Oh. He doesn't have to exercise that much. No, and he always hated walking. So he's actually having the time of his life.
I used to walking. Should I get rid of my jaw?
Yeah.
And then I wouldn't have to
do a podcast.
Do much, really. And then could just be fed slosh by you. Casey.
You sleep like you've got no jaw. Last night you were making very weird noises.
Thank you.
I had to get my earplugs.
Yeah, you said that was because of the sound of the clock.
So I was being nice.
Okay. I didn't know you guys lived together.
We didn't. She just stayed over last night.
But why? No, but I didn't know you used to live together.
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah,
why don't you live together anymore, guys?
For a year.
I think it was too. It got like with Nell and I.
We lived together.
No one did
together.
The washing up.
No.
Ever. And
then we got a bunny, and I think the bunny.
That was the end of it all, really.
Yeah. But yeah, Huge.
Yeah.
You're a single man, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just hate every time you do this to me, just trying to embarrass me.
So Huge gets loads of attention. He's a stand-up comedian. He's amazing, and you get lots of attention after shows, don't you? It's happened when you've played the piano in our show, like afterwards, you get people's phone numbers. Tell us about the magic you weave over these women in the audience. They're like, hey, is this enigmatic, mysterious, sexy comedian with the long hair and the keyboard?
I don't know what you want to say.
Well, we decided we want to take matters into our own hands because we've become very fond of you and want you to be
like
happy.
So we've
decided to put you into the regular feature in our podcast of Market Fair, where we sell someone we love or soon to be people that listen to the podcast. We sell their wares for love. So we're going to sell yours.
Okay.
Okay.
So, here is Market Fair about Huge Davies.
He is a catch.
To market, Huge Davies. He uses his keyboard to woo the ladies.
He's handsome with a beautiful face.
He's both Welsh and Indonesian, but this is not about race.
A dick pic, it's not something he'll send.
Hugh is a gentleman and not a bell end.
Rapunzel, such long thick black hair.
He smokes vapes instead of cigarettes, so won't pollute your air.
Huge Davies is a lovable geek.
He's also 6'2", so his height is on fleek.
We love him, now you can too.
Get in touch on iTunes and you can date Hugh.
Do you like it? What do you think?
It was really good.
Who wrote it for you?
I think anyone who gets in touch is going to be a psychopath, clearly.
Yeah, but do you like psychopath? What's your type?
Got to be absolutely nuts. Mm-hmm. I think that's the normal.
Yeah.
It's the normal. I don't really want someone who's nuts, but mm-hmm. it just happens to be nuts.
And are you a nice romantic partner?
I think I'm a nice man, but then it's not really for me to say, is it?
You are a nice man. Mm. What's the most romantic thing you've done?
I once broke up to someone to spare them from the relationship.
Why? What were you doing?
I think I was just quite sad at the time, and I thought, let's just leave it there.
Thinking about the dog with no jaw.
Yeah. He's on my thoughts a lot.
Oh. So it's hard to kind of commit to a woman.
No, that's fine. It's just I'm quite unlikable sometimes.
Are you unlikable? Do you think you're difficult?
No, I don't think I'm difficult. This has been turned into something else, hasn't it?
It's therapy. How are your emotions at the moment?
I'm feeling okay. Would it be funnier for me to say that I was having a real hard time?
No, it wouldn't be funny at all.
Just tell us how you honestly.
Yeah, this is a safe space.
I'm feeling fine. You guys keep me on my toes. Mm-hmm. Obviously,
you keep us on our toes, Hugh.
Oh, really? Okay, cool.
And you've what's your Twitter?
It's at Huge Davies.
And you've got like. What, 400?
I got like 518 maybe. Yeah. Today.
Wow, it's going to go up.
It's crazy.
No, but you are brilliant. You're very, very talented.
Do you consent to us putting a picture of you on our Twitter, you know, just for the dating bit? You can choose the picture.
I mean, if I just say no, you're going to do it anyway. Mm. So, yeah.
But we'll do a fully clothed one.
Oh, no.
So, it's fine. We'll get you some food now. We love you.
And so that was Huge Davies. I think he's going to feel like a weight's been lifted.
Yeah, I feel like he's going to feel the benefits of that therapy session quite soon. Yeah. Slash maybe start legal proceedings against us. Who knows?
Yeah, that would be a shame. Mm. It would be a really shame.
I think, yeah, just get him to sign a contract. It'll be fine.
So shall we now hear a little bit from my dad, maybe?
Yes, please.
Do
you know, I think like, last night when we had insomnia, if we just played recordings of your dad, I think that would have really helped me. Off.
Maybe not me.
Not like
your dad would have helped me get
different
off.
Kind of getting off.
But yeah.
But there's.
Yeah, that, you walked right into that. But anyway, let's hear
I'm
from.
Start on your dad soon.
God's sake.
I can't do it. No, he's too lovely. I respect him.
Yeah. I respect your dad. Let's hear from Ian Norris and maybe let's like, hear a little story from the farm, maybe.
I was taking two pigs to the slaughterhouse. Big pigs. A boy and a girl. Lost their old spots. They were in my little trailer. I wasn't alone in this difficult task. My son Ben, aged 11, was in the front seat beside me. We'd gone a few miles and were on the main road when Ben says, "The pigs are out." "What? What? Speak up." "The pigs." "What? What did you say?" "The pigs are out. The..." "Oh, my God. Oh, my God, they are." And they were. And there they are, racing down the main road, and all the traffic comes grinding to a halt. So I get out. And the worst thing was, there was a vintage car rally going on. And they're all, "Oh, look at that. Look at that. Oh, look at that. There's two pigs racing down the road. And look at..." And they all get their cameras out. "And look at that farmer. Oh, he's in a state, isn't he?" "Yes, he certainly was." Anyway, I ran down the traffic and fortunately saw someone I knew driving one of the cars. "Hey, look, could you give me a hand?" He said, "Oh, yes, of course," you see. "Big chap." So he gets out and we catch the pigs and we get them back into the trailer. Wonderful. Terrific. And off we go.
How long did it take you to do that?
Oh, that took about 15 minutes. Oh. But on we go and we drive on. I'm rather pleased with myself. And we come around the corner and into the next town. "Pigs are out." "What? What? The pigs are out." "What? Oh, my God." And they're out. They're out in the town now. Oh, absolute chaos. But happily, a great huge farmer appears and he catches them. Well, he catches one of them and comes up to me with one of them under his arm and plonks it into my trailer, puts the lid on the trailer and off he goes to catch the other one. And he comes back a few minutes later with the other pig under the arm and a great coil of rope in the other hand. He gives me a lecture on my inadequacies of my trailer. I don't argue. Well, would you argue with a farmer with a coil of rope in one hand? You never know what he might do with it. Anyway, he plugs it in and says, thank you very much, Mr. Farmer. That's very kind. And off I go. And we go around the corner and there's a policeman. Well, of course there's a policeman. The traffic is completely blocked for miles. And he puts his hand up in front. Here, you, over there, he says, and stop. Fuck off, I say. I'm going home. And I do fuck off and go home. And he follows me. I get home in the end. Ben disappears immediately. And my father-in-law's there and I start to explain what has happened to him. And the policeman inspects the trailer. The policeman's rather impressed with the tying up of the pigs on the trailer. So, thank you, Mr. Farmer. And off he goes. And I turn to father-in-law and he's sunk to the ground. And he's shaking. Oh dear, what's the matter here? I look closely and I find he's laughing so much he can't stand up. Well, that's the sort of sympathy you get in West Somerset when you lose a couple of pigs.
And that was story time with my father, Ian Norris, who has just returned from a bridge holiday where he didn't win.
Aww.
I know, he wins every time.
Oh, well.
He's got to lose some time, yeah. And bring him back down to earth.
We'd just like to point out that no pigs, geese or bunnies were harmed in the making of this podcast, on Norris's childhood farm or in Norris and Pocket's Mancunian flat. All ants, however, have been exterminated.
If you've enjoyed this week's podcast, please like us, rate us, subscribe or leave a review on iTunes, Acast or wherever you get your podcasts. Please spread the word.
Bye, everyone.
See you next week. Hear you next week. Speak to you next week. Goodbye.
Au revoir.
Bonne nuit.
Bonjour.
I mean, we're saying bye.
Oh, yeah.
So, auf Wiedersehen.
Tschüss.
You have been listening to a Red Apple Creative original podcast. For more great podcasts from Red Apple, just go to redapplecreative.co.uk.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.